Hello all, and thanks for listening again. We step into Norm Nathan's vault of silliness, sift through the piles of cassettes, and find one from April 10th, 1993. It's a dumb birthday game featuring Wolfie, and it doesn't take long for him to get on Norm's nerves. Mike and Steve in Ontario, Canada, accounting students from the University of Windsor. Linda Chase is on the phone and working on a new theme song. I'm producing and in studio, and Jack Hart in traffic. The birthdays: Henry Morgan, Omar Sharif, another one of Norm's twins. We learn that he was a bridge expert, which prompts Norm to comment on Linda's infrastructure. Norm does his impression of Wolfie doing his impression of W.C. Fields. Then Jack hits us with a pun that hurts. I mean, it's bad. You've been warned. John Madden, Chuck Connors, Dandy Don Meredith, which brings back Arthur Godfrey from the grave to sing "Wolfie's Too Fat for Me," and Sheb Woolley. We close the game with a couple of events in history. What year did Walter Hunt receive a patent for the safety pin? And when did Ricky Nelson make his singing debut on Ozzy and Harriet? We get a Big Daddy's plug from Wolfie. Now, Big Daddy's was a local restaurant in Brighton, Mass. Still is. Friday night was takeout night, and I and David Brudnoy would order up some subs. We also referred to it as Large Fathers. We'll hear from Ruth Frost from Fruitport, Michigan, and her skin problems and the cooling, soothing relief of Gold Bond. Then Norm teases the next night's show where Steve Allen will be our guest. I'll let you in on a little secret. That's our next episode. But now it's time for some madness.
I do right now. We mention the names of people born on this date, and the idea is to guess how old they are. And from that premise, we just make broadcasting history, I tell you. And if we don't have too many people born in this date, we have a fair amount. We'll also add a few events that happened on this date, and you tell me the year they happened, and that just adds even a little more spice to the dumb birthday game. Thank you just so much. We have Wolfie playing the game with us today. Hello, Wolfie.
Good morning, Normie. To Joe from South Boston. One of the funniest bits was I'm driving my cab up Broadway towards A Street one night. Guy hanging on a pole. He makes it, gets in the cab. I says, "Yes, sir, where to?" He says, "You can go either way."
That's a hilarious story and a typical, wonderful Wolfie story. Thank you just so much. Okay, we also have Mike in Ontario. Hi, Mike is back with us.
Hi, I don't have a joke for you, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, too. Actually, I'm kind of pleased. And I know Steve is with you there. I can hear him giggling. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
How nice of you to be playing the dumb birthday game with us.
Hey, it's our pleasure.
And you know who else we have playing the dumb birthday game? I'm really pleased about this. You know the lady who sings the dumb, 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 but you don't have to have a braid. You can be stupid and play the dumb. Anyway, that's Linda Chase of a group called Linda's League. And Linda's going to be playing the game with us, which is kind of nice. Is this the first time you've done this, Linda?
Hi, Norm.
Hi, Linda.
No, it's not the first time. And you can't be too stupid because you've got to be on your toes to play the dumb birthday game.
What a lovely thing to say. That's right. you were in the studio with some other members of your group. I can't remember which one it was. Was it
Dave?
Dave.
Oh, it was Dave. Dave who was here. Okay.
Yep.
That's right, and you played right here in the studio.
That's right.
How's everything going?
Everything's going pretty good.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that.
In fact, it's funny that you have somebody from South Boston because Dave and I are producing a very promising young artist named Megan Brown. She's a 16-year-old girl with an incredible talent, and we're producing her. Hopefully, we'll get her a really good record deal. And she's incredibly talented. Wait till you hear the tape we have of her.
Her name is Megan Brown?
Megan Brown.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's really very, very talented.
What kind of stuff does she do?
Very R&B, dance-oriented, soulful kind of stuff. She's got a very soulful voice, but she can do just about anything from Phantom of the Opera to Judy Garland and anything. She's very, very talented.
Okay, that sounds fine. I look forward to that. Okay, we also have Tony Nesbitt, who's playing the game with us.
You're making noise, I'm sorry.
Yay, Tony.
Hey.
Boo.
Okay, and also we have Jack Hart with us.
Hello.
The boo should be appropriate here, because we're going to hear a half hour, an hour or so of really awful jokes, really terrible stuff. It's going to turn your stomach. Between you and Wolfie, I don't know how I'm going to survive this hour. Anyway, let me give you the first person who was born on this day. Not the very first person who was ever born.
I was
going
to say, what was this?
Yeah, no, it was Adam.
His name was 1993.
Adam. Yeah, that's right. Let's see, what is today? Is April 10th. Son of a gun, time really moves along, doesn't it?
Tell you.
And it does, and it still feels like we haven't quite gone into spring yet. And the peepers are still not out screaming.
Still
or anything.
Feels, beep, it still feels beep. Like April 9th to me.
That has to be Wolfie. Is that Wolfie doing that?
Either that or a truck backing up.
Okay. Oh. Okay, Harry Morgan. Let me tell you about Harry Morgan. Harry Morgan is the one who's
Gannon?
He was on Gunsmoke. He was on MASH. Let me give you some
Harry
information.
Harry Morgan, wasn't he on Dragnet?
Yes, he was.
That's the fax man. No, that was Gannon.
Yeah, his real name was Harry Bratsberg. Isn't that interesting? Harry Bratsberg. Somebody told me his real name was Henry Morgan, but there already was a Henry Morgan, so he changed it. But it wasn't that at all. Harry Bratsberg, he's born in Detroit. He was Colonel Potter on the MASH TV series, and in 1967 he started with Jack Webb on Dragnet. He was the right-hand man to Jack Webb, or Joe Friday, as he was called in. Yes, we'll investigate. We'll see what to do, and then when we do, we'll do it. We'll do it, and we'll come back, and we'll do it later on. A very low.
And in that scene, something like that, after every sentence, there would have been at least a cut to the next, to the person they were talking to, back to the person who started.
Then they would have
the editing was.
They would have a dramatic closing line before the.
Of course.
The theme came in.
This is the city. Los Angeles, California.
Naked as it is.
This is the city. There are 17.
That's the facts, man.
There are 17 million pipes that flow through this city every single day.
Welcome to my home.
Oh, shut up and let me finish a goddamn sentence.
There are 20,000 talk show hosts in this country every day.
And only one says what he just said, that fellow there. Okay, let's say Harry Morgan. I guess we've established who Harry Morgan is. Wolfie, how old is he?
Right away, you put me under the gun.
Oh, shut up and answer the question.
83 7/8.
Wow. Oh, we're going to do some more humor here.
Oh, is that what that was?
That was humor.
That was really ribald.
Oh.
That's right. Mike, what do you say?
What I have to say is 64 years of age as of today.
64 as of this moment. Okay, and Steve?
Mike, you're incorrect. He's 74 years old today.
Okay, 74. And Linda, what do you think, you adorable person?
68.
Tony?
79.
And Jack Hart?
78.
78, says Jack.
My first answer.
Okay, and actually, he's 78.
Oh!
Jack hit it right on the button.
Wow.
And Tony was very close with 79.
We're not doing plus minus here, are we?
What's that, please?
No.
We're not doing plus minus, are we?
Well, we could do plus minus if nobody hit it right on the button, but Jack did, and Steve was very good. He got 74. Which is close.
He's writing it all down. You don't have to worry.
Even Wolfie was on.
I got my calculator out.
Okay, yeah, that's right. These are the accounting students up at the University of Windsor, Ontario. Omar Sharif, who, if you look at him closely, should remind you of myself. He's terribly sophisticated and debonair.
Not last week, but when you came back with the tan.
That's right. Then I looked like Omar Sharif.
That's right. When you walked in, I couldn't believe it. I said, they've got Omar Sharif substituting for Norm this weekend.
Yeah,
incredibly handsome, a reluctant Adonis.
Oh, you didn't have to say that. Oh, come on.
Wait till you hear your new theme song.
Oh, you working on that now?
Oh, you don't know what you're up against.
I think it's done. I think it's done. They're going to drop by with it.
Nathan, the town's talking about you.
Wow.
How did he get a bootleg copy, Linda?
Yeah, that's right. So he sang the exact words.
Oh, you guys will be the first to know.
Okay, Omar Sharif was born Michael Shahoob. Michael. Yeah, well, it's a natural. Michael Shahoob, Omar Sharif. How did he get that?
His, well,
not such a drastic change. Huh?
Michael Shahoub was probably his mother's maiden name. Maybe it wasn't. Anyway, he was born in Egypt.
Shahoub, was that? No.
Shobading, dong.
Yeah.
It might have been, yeah.
That was his full name, what Jack just said. Shahoub Alaba Ding Dong. That was his full name.
He was named by the crew cuts.
Anyway, he was nominated for an Oscar in 1962 for Lawrence of Arabia. He also starred in Dr. Zhivago and Funny Girl. He made millions of dollars in the movies, but lost most of it in gambling.
Yes, he's a horse degenerate.
He's a bridge expert also. I don't know what he lost it. I guess maybe he wouldn't have lost it in
We could probably use him in Massachusetts. A lot of our bridges have problems.
Absolutely. And
say,
if he's got any money left, yeah,
I'll get it. Underwater in Florida somewhere.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And
I'm not feeling too good right now.
Speaking about bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
Linda, I love your infrastructure. See, now that's the kind of wild...
Hey. It's got the harbor tunnel beat out. And a lot less expensive.
You were so forward. I didn't.
Wow.
I'm just so pleased that you said that.
Hey, Norm, it's Friday night.
That's right. I think now it's time for me to make my move.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's start with you, Jack. How old do you think Omar Sharif is?
Omar Sharif. He is 72.
72. Okay. And Tony, what do you think?
73.
73. Okay. And the very lovely Linda.
75.
Ooh.
Oh, got it.
If you don't make your move now, I'm making mine.
You keep out of this, Mac. Steve, what do you say?
Sharif. Omar Sharif. He's got to be about 81 today.
81 years old today. Okay. And what do you think, Mike?
I think he's 77.
77.
Ooh,
okay.
So close. And speaking of bridges, for Wolfie, of course, Norm.
Okay, the gambling part would be Wolfie.
Oh, no, well, I was going to say jump off one, but I thought you
were... Oh, that had to do with weight capacitor.
Well, that too.
What do you think, Wolfie? How old is Omar Sharif?
76 Trumbo.
That's the spirit.
Live the big parade.
Yippee.
See, you know Linda's a musician because she knows the next line to that song. Okay, Omar Sharif actually, and this surprises me too.
What is he, 40?
He's 61.
Wow.
What?
He looks older than that, doesn't he?
He looked 61 years ago.
His tan must be 74.
That's right. His tan is older than he is.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I play his part? I'm 61.
You're 61?
Yeah.
You could just play maybe the tent.
Yeah. Yeah. You could play his mustache.
That's so funny, and I don't know what that means.
Because we look down our nose at him, at Wolfie. Anyway,
you got a long way to look down.
You got a long way to look down. Oh, that's a good line, Wolfie.
Yeah.
Wolfie doing his imitation of W.C. Field. Anyway, okay, Omar Sharif, being 61, the closest was the very lovely infrastructure lady, Linda Chase.
Didn't they write a song about him, Who Shot the Sharif?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Tony, was that you?
No, I will not admit to that. I plead the fifth.
In fact, there was a movie with...
Don't plead the fifth, try for a quart.
There was a movie with James Garner called Support Your Local Sharif. Remember that one?
I'm going to tell Eric Clapton.
Did you ever hear Eric Clapton when he wasn't performing? He tells worse jokes than these.
I understand that. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's my whole line.
Oh! At one point, he used to get into it. He had a hobby where he would crochet things with his fingers, and he was Sharif the Notting Ham.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Oh! That's really you're thinking very.
Isn't that awful? That's
the Sharif of Notting. Oh!
How deep are you reaching?
Oh, he'll reach anywhere. He's got no shame at all.
I've got a bottomless barrel.
That's right. You certainly do.
He and Wolfie are the two most shameless people I know.
We are the Merry Men.
See what I mean? Okay, here's John Madden. We're going to John Madden very quickly. Really quickly to John Madden, the sports guy. Let me see what I can tell
you.
Hold on.
Give him a chance to get his telestrator going, and he can...
Okay, John Madden.
I'm going to show you the X's and O's and what the play looks like for John Madden.
It says here he's from Austin, Minnesota.
Where?
Sports announcer from Austin, Minnesota. Originally.
Is this in Austin, Minnesota?
Apparently.
Wow.
He admits to being afraid of the dark and hates elevators, planes, and trains. I don't know what
that
means.
Yeah, he travels by bus.
Is that right?
That's all, yep. He'll travel by bus.
That's John Madden, who's... okay, let's start with the... Steve, we'll start with you. How old do you think John Madden is? Do you know who he is?
I have no clue who you're talking about, really.
Yeah, he's football. A sports guy, big fat sports guy.
Oh, John
Madden. Don't you rip up those fat people.
Okay, well, here's my guess, anyway. He doesn't look too old on TV.
Yeah,
he's
Steve?
He's got to be about 52 right now.
About 52. And Mike, what do you think?
I'd say he's about 58.
About 58? Okay. And Tony, what do you say?
51.
51, says Tony. And Linda?
60.
60, says the...
Were you conferring with someone, Linda?
Huh?
Were you conferring with someone?
No.
Wow.
I thought I heard.
My
thought
cat.
I heard. Oh, okay. All right.
Meow, meow, 51.
Yeah.
And Wolfie, what do you think?
1 mile over the speed limit.
Okay, it's 56, you say.
Very good, Norm.
Okay, very good.
I thought he might have got you on that one, but
No. I'm ever alert.
I know.
And Jack, what do you say?
Oh, 54.
1 mile under the speed limit.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that kind of stuff. Okay, John Madden is 57 years old, so I think we have two winners. We have Wolfie, who said 56.
Yay!
Oh,
geez. My lights just blew out without me.
The entire transmitter nearly went off the air with that one.
Hey, tell John Madden I'm scared now. My lights just blew out without
Hi, Wolfie.
Mike said 58.
Wolfie, you're a regular among regulars.
The Canadian.
No, I'm not. I happen to be...
Slightly irregular?
Yeah.
Irregular.
Wolfie reminds me of a guy I grew up with back in Everett many years ago. He was the kind of guy used to want to beat up and beat his head against the sidewalk.
Over and over again.
Yeah, that's right. And
you know
why? Why
because
is
it felt so good when you stopped.
Yeah. Oh, my God, we got Linda doing the bad jokes now. My dream, my love is Linda, and she's doing bad jokes. Oh, I'm dreaming all this. This is not really happening.
No, I'm known for that.
Oh, really?
The worst jokes in the world. Yeah, I'm Polish. What do you want from me?
But my grandfather...
Well, not much now that you told us that, I guess, huh?
My grandfather is very exciting, Isaac Nathan Podklubnik. He was Polish, too. Unfortunately, he died before I was born, so I never heard his bad jokes.
You know why more
Right
Polish?
Now in my dreams, he comes no, back and says, Norm, if I were still alive, I'd tell you bad jokes you would hate.
Do you know why more Polish
But instead, I'll channel myself
other?
Through Wolfie.
Yeah, let's keep let's talking over Wolfie because he's going to do a Polish joke, and that's all we need. Okay, Wolfie, hold it to yourself and tell it to your friends at a private party. We have one win apiece.
He won't be able to tell anyone.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He never gets invited to parties. Wolfie, Mike, Linda, and Jack all have one.
Oh, thank you.
One
much.
Win apiece. And Chuck Connors.
1.5 mile pole, dead heat.
Chuck Connors. We'll see how old Chuck. Am I talking loud enough so you don't hear him? Oh, Chuck Connors, born
the Rifleman.
Yeah, that's right. Born Kevin Connors in Brooklyn, New York. Imagine the Rifleman born in Brooklyn.
Didn't he die recently?
Did he?
Yeah. Wait, I think he is dead.
Wait, hold on a minute while I check my
Can we guess his name posthumously?
Pa.
Yeah, that's right. He's not on the AP list, which is more recent than the list I have. So he probably is.
Yeah, he died at the time of printing of the birthday book there.
Yeah, he must have died because the birthday book comes out well in advance. Want to guess his age anyway? If he were alive today, holy...
Yeah, let's do it. Why not?
Okay. He was, of course, on the Rifleman in 1957 to 1962, if that'll help you guess. Okay, we'll start with Linda on this one. How old, if you were alive today? this is really kind of grisly, isn't it? Would Chuck Connors be?
63.
How much?
63.
63. Okay, and his rifle would be how old? Okay. Never mind.
If it weren't buried.
Yeah, it's buried with him in a cemetery of your choice. Okay, Wolfie, how old do you think Chuck Connors would be today?
30 plus 9.
He'd be 39?
No, 30 plus 9.
What does that mean, Wolfie?
30 plus 9.
69.
I think it'd be 70 minus 1 somehow.
Leave it to Wolfie to come up with somewhat suggestive.
Oh, please, Linda. I was skirting past that quickly.
Come on.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
I think it's probably about 70. It would be approximately 71.
Approximately 71. Okay, Steve?
Take a stab in the dark. About 69 today.
Okay, and 69, you say the same as Wolfie and Tony?
He took a stab in the dark, but appropriately, I'll take a shot in the dark.
Very nice.
The rifleman.
Shot in the dark?
Shot in the dark.
Oh, come on.
He got shot.
And how old would he be?
71 sounds pretty good.
71 sounds pretty good. Okay.
He would be 71 if he was with us today.
If he were with us today. If he were not with us today, he'd be 42. Or something. I don't know what that means. Jack, what do you
say? He's a high-caliber actor.
Oh.
Yeah, ooh, groan. Come on, groan.
That ought to trigger some more jokes.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Jack, what do you say?
He worked for the Chamber of Commerce at one time.
Jack?
This game is a mere shell of its former self.
Oh.
71.
Okay, we have 371s, eh? And those 371s win, he'd be 672.
Hey!
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, so we have Mike.
I guess one, and the one I guess is the guy who's dead. How about that?
Yeah, that's going to tell you something, although I don't know what. Tony has one. Jack has a couple, and so does Mike. Mike has two, and Jack has two, and Don Meredith, talking about sportscasters.
That should be dandy.
Dandy Don.
Is that what they call him?
Yeah.
From Mount Vernon, Texas. Former football star. He played quarterback with Dallas Cowboys from 1960 to 69. Later a sports announcer. And I love the way they say this, a commercial spokesman.
Man, what was that for?
Commercial, I don't know. I guess he did
some muscle relaxing.
Don Meredith, wasn't he in a lot of horrible movies and things too?
Was he? The sports guy?
I'm thinking of the same guy.
Sure, you're not thinking of Burgess Meredith?
No, I'm sorry. Meredith, didn't he? Wasn't he in like a lot of bad movies in the 70s?
What with the penguin is? No, that's another. I'm sorry. No, I don't believe so. I've never seen him in a movie. And I go to every movie that's ever filmed. Okay, let's start.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Tony, what do you think? How old is Don Meredith?
Let's see. Don Meredith.
Don Meredith.
Don Meredith. 63.
63. Linda, you were referring to Burgess Meredith when you mentioned the penguin.
Right.
Okay, this is Don Meredith. How old do you think he is?
48.
48. Okay, and Jack?
His football's older than that.
Speaking of Jack, where were you at Nostalgia last weekend?
where was I?
Holy kid.
Oh. I wasn't there.
Is there some hidden meaning behind all this?
I think there is.
No.
No. Okay.
Damn. I was hoping there was.
Oh, let's start some juicy gossip.
Yeah, scandal.
Let's see. Who are we talking about?
Don Meredith.
Oh, Don Meredith. 53,
okay. And Wolfie?
Well, I think he quit when he was 37, and they add 24 years to that. That's how much. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, 7 ocho, nueve, diez.
You never get a simple answer from this guy, do we?
Okay,
no, but we know he knows how to count up to 10 in a foreign language.
Yeah, that's right, too. And I think maybe that's why he did that, you suppose?
Could be.
No, he wouldn't be pompous enough to do it that way, would he? Would he be that much of a show-off?
Yes, I'm an egotist.
An egotist.
Keep your socks on, lady.
Wow.
Okay, Steve, what do you think?
Darn it. I'd have to say, is that 56?
Okay, what do you think, Mike?
I think he's 62, but I also, didn't he do tea commercials for Lipton Tea or something?
Yes, he did, that's right, he did do those.
Yeah,
does he play a ukulele?
What the hell does that mean, Wolfie? Does
Who
he
was the first man to hype Lipton Tea?
I have no idea who that man would be at all, no. Lipton Tea with the ukulele, I don't know who you're talking about. As a matter of fact, Wolfie, I think sometimes you act like a total jerk. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good thing.
In the Blue Hill Mountains of Virginia is Wolfie, who's a total jerk.
Okay. At least I have one up on many people that can't say they are a total jerk.
How about a little of Wolfie's Too Fat for Me? Can we hear that one?
Yeah. Oh, he's too fat. Oh, he's so, so fat. Wolfie's too fat for me. Oh, yes. Oh, Wolfie is just so fat. Oh, the worth of flesh is hanging from your sides. Bunches of flesh. The only way to get rid of it is to stop eating and drink only Lipton tea. Or perhaps munch on your ukulele would be a good a way to spend the time. Yes. I think that's enough for that. Anyway.
Oh, he was back in the studio.
John, do you remember the commercials for Lipton tea with the chimpanzees?
I don't remember that.
That was Red Rose, wasn't it?
No.
Here, I'll give you one.
No, that was Red Rose tea, sorry.
Yeah.
What was the hotel that he owned?
The Kenilworth. The Hotel Kenilworth in Florida. It was a segregated hotel, too, and didn't also allow folks of the Jewish persuasion in. And good deal, that kept you out, Wolfie. But then again, it kept me out, too, so I didn't like that. No, he was kind of funny and kind of a rebel until later years when he got just to be a cranky old man like you, Wolfie.
I tell him I gave him competition with the Shoreham Norman down at 5th and 6th Ocean Drive.
Oh, it's Wolfie. He's too fat for me. Oh, yes, he's too fat. Oh, who? Anyway, Don Meredith, we're guessing the age of Don Meredith, as I recall, is 55 years old. Today, Steve said 56, and he would be the closest.
Didn't I say 54?
Jack said 53. You said 53, and so you were just barely off. That wasn't bad either. No, I would say the clear-cut winner is Steve, who's won his first round.
Yay!
Well done, Steve. Thank you, Mike.
And I think Steve is too fat for me. And he's probably not even fat.
Let's not get carried away tonight.
Okay. Okay, how about the Sheb Woolley? Do you know Sheb Woolley?
Sheb Woolley.
Oh, yeah, Sheb and I go way back.
Yeah. Yeah. way back. From Eric, Oklahoma. The biggest hit was the Purple People Eater. He did that in, and I'm giving you years now so you can figure out the age.
Mm-hmm.
1958.
One-eyed, one-horned. Flying purple people.
Yes. He also did parody songs as Ben Colder and wrote the Hee Haw theme song.
This guy has had a career.
Oh, he's had a career. That's right. It would just take your breath away. He was Pete Nolan on TV's Rawhide, and in the movies, he was in Giant, High Noon.
Jeez.
And Hoosiers. I didn't realize he was in Hoosiers. Hoosiers, that was the
Gene Hackman
movie about the basketball.
This guy did all great this movie. And wrote Purple.
You know what I think? He must have been the drunken other coach. Remember who would come back and drank a lot? Wasn't it? That must have been Sheb Woolley.
Sheb Woolley.
Yes, sir, I'm Sheb Woolley. I come back from drinking lots of booze, and I'm ready to coach a basketball team, okay? What do you say?
Get yourself some teeth, Sheb, and come on. You can talk to us.
What do you say we do some dunking? Me, Dunkin' always
Dunkin'
meant
donuts.
Yeah, Dunkin' Ooh, always meant a donut inside a martini. But anyway, I'm glad I said that. Shep Woolley. I wonder if he's related to what's that guy who does the dating game?
Monty Woolley.
No, the not the dating game. The love
Chuck
connection.
Woolery.
Oh, Chuck Woolery. No, that's not the same name, is it? No. Okay. Let's start.
Is a woolery where they make wool?
Woolery is where the, is you know is
I
a place
curious.
Place where they keep sheep.
Is a woolery?
Is a woolery? Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Wolfie, now that you're all warmed up and you're doing sheep imitations,
Daisy,
because that's the closest. No, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
What do you say, Wolfie? How old do you think Shep Woolery is? Shep Woolley is rather today.
Try 73.
That's Wolfie's meeting.
73 says. There's a Wolfie.
What's your sign?
Hey, you.
I'd like to put a U saddle on you.
Oh, that was really swell. That put me in my place, you betcha.
That was really bad.
Okay.
This is sheer silliness.
Oh.
If I didn't need the dough, I would have quit this a long time ago. Anyway, Mike, what do you say? Shep Woolley.
I think it's a double nickel.
A double nickel?
55.
55. Oh, it's a double nickel. That's right. Yeah, okay. That's good. Steve.
I thought a double nickel was a dime.
Can somebody explain the nickel line to me on baseball?
Yes. Steve, meantime, we'll guess how old Shep Woolley is. What did you say, Steve?
Let me see. I'll meet that double nickel and raise him a dime.
Okay, so you, what, 70, 65?
65.
65, okay. And what do you think, Linda?
Norm, I'm an addict. I'm on a woolite bend. I think 59.
That was such a nice performance. That's really good. Let's work that into the show Saturday night.
When I don't think so.
We'll be appearing at the Drake at Town Hall. And Tony, what do you say?
Oh, I think he's a mammoth.
Mammoth.
Woolly mammoth.
A woolly mammoth.
A woolly mammoth, yeah.
Tusk, Jack.
Why do we get tusk with the sheep?
Well, then woolly mammoths have, like, tusks.
Yeah, woolly mammoth. See, I said a mammoth because woolly mammoth.
Oh, I see woolly mammoth.
And the tusks, see.
You notice the way he has to explain every damn line of this thing.
Well, you said, how do we get tusks from sheep? And I don't know.
Okay.
How do you get a lot of water from a stone? Question is,
would you believe that many people write to me and say they enjoy this dumb birthday game feature? And we have a bunch of lunatics who listen to this program.
And it's they can write, too.
Well, they don't write clearly. They write on crayon on lined paper. Anyway, what do you say, Tony?
Do you ever get any of those magazines? You know, they cut out the letters and send you. And
oh, yeah.
Them up
oh,
and
yeah.
Say, we love the birthday game.
Yeah, most of them are like that. Yeah.
Paste ups.
Yeah.
Like ransom notes.
Mary had a little lamb, and she's written into Believe It or Not.
Son of a gun?
No.
Who are we talking? Oh, Shep Woolley. Okay.
Shep Woolley, Tony, yeah.
He's like I said, he's a mammoth 68 now.
68.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jack, what do you say?
Oh, Shep Woolley. 59.
You know what his first name really is? Do you care?
Shibley.
Shelby. Mike and Shelby Scott.
Shelby Woolley.
Huh. Or Shelby.
So do they stick him out in the rain every storm?
Hmm?
Like Shelby Scott.
Oh.
I see. Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's real good. That's real
this is
good.
Shelby Woolley.
Okay. We have the winner is actually Wolfie.
Wow.
Who said 73. He's 72.
Wow.
So Wolfie now has
he
two.
He lies. He's 73.
Wow.
Wolfie, Mike. And Jack all have our tie with two apiece.
But now, I'm going to make a run at them.
I see. Uh-huh. You bet. Okay. Uh-huh. And now, I'm going to have to give you events that happened on April 10th, this very day. because we've run out of important names and stuff, or names that you would know.
I didn't think any of them were really important.
And maybe they think the same of you, Wilfie.
I didn't realize.
Well, do you have any other names?
Yeah, we do, but I've gone on to a couple of dates.
Okay.
See, can't use dates from the names from the future because I'll be on every night.
No, I thought you meant you had names that you don't think we'll know tonight, because sometimes you do
that.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's because you don't know who they are doesn't mean
that's true. No, no, I know who they are, but I think you don't know who they are.
Oh, one of the...
No, also they're not as much fun to guess as the swell names we've had so far.
Anybody who's dead?
A lot of dead people. A lot of dead people. For example, Joseph Pulitzer,
the founder of the Pulitzer
Prize.
May
he rest in peace.
Commodore Matthew Perry is dead. Claire Booth Luce was born on this date and is dead. Francis Perkins, Secretary of State, Secretary of Labor, first female member of the presidential cabinet. She was under Roosevelt. Dead.
I wonder if Mrs. Roosevelt knew about that.
What's that, please?
I wonder if Mrs. Roosevelt knew about that.
Are we going to stick
to
that?
About everything.
Helpful.
Okay. Okay, you've all had your chance at that. This is the... Today was the day, April 10th.
Mm-hmm.
The Walter Hunt of New York received a patent for the safety pin. This is an exciting one to guess, isn't it?
Wow.
He was going to invent the sewing machine, but he gave up on it.
Yeah, because Elias Howe already beat him to it.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
And he wanted to save time, and he figured he could just pin up the hem.
But it says that he gave up on it the day he invented the safety pin.
Wouldn't have.
He gave the rights to the safety pin to a friend who paid off a debt of of less than $500.
Yeah. That was his name, Bobby Pin.
Bobby Pin was his name. That's right. That's right.
Sorry.
Okay. What year did Walter Hunt receive the patent for the safety pin? Well, that's kind of an exciting question.
I like that.
Okay. What year do you think that would have been? And we will start the bidding at $3. Oh, no. I beg your pardon. That's another game. Okay, the safety pin. Oh, hold on a minute. I didn't even have that listed here. Safety pin. Okay, we'll start with you, Wolfie. What year was the safety pin patented?
The same year as the Louisiana Purchase.
What year was that?
I figured you'd know. You're old enough to know.
What year do you think? Well, what year was that, Wolfie?
Oh. Let's try 1824.
Oh, he's too fat for me. Ooh. Mike, what do you say?
I think way back in 1878.
1878. I remember those days. Why, we used to go to school. No cancellations then. With the snow would be 10 feet above our pipics, and we'd walk through
that's
the snow.
Pipic, not pipic.
Oh,
pipic.
Jesus, there's one in every crowd, isn't
legs.
There, huh?
But in Wolfie's case, it looks like there's three.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, God, what a nightmare. Oh, Steve, what do you say? How old?
I can't run a horse in the daytime if it's a nightmare.
Shut up.
Hey, my turn, Wolfie. Yes. Let me at this.
Yes, Steve, all right, please, all right. For God's sake, just talk loud. I'll put you up really loud.
The safety pin. Safety pin's been around for some time now.
You're closing in on it, Steve. You're closing in on it. I can tell.
Okay, we're going to go for, 1888. Yeah.
Okay. And Linda, what do you think?
1825.
And Tony? First patent for a safety
pin. Now, it was
pin.
Patented, which means it probably was around longer.
It might have been, and it was invented before that, of course. And then Walter Hunt decided, hey, I think I'll get a patent for this thing. I'll call it the safety pin because it's a pin, and yet it seems to be safe.
You know, he tried to sell it for years and years, but nobody seemed to get the point.
If they made it now to be safe, they probably would have had to put an airbag on it.
an airbag on it.
Yeah, because of safe, you know, because safety.
I know. Yes,
yeah, and this day and age, you can't go without
a disclaimer printed on the
that's
side.
True,
could have went. We could have went without that joke, but.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that was?
Could you tell? 18. Let me see. Is there any anniversary coming up? Like, have we celebrated the 100th year?
Is it still today?
This is the year of the safety.
Still the same, is this the same day that we started this program?
Yes.
Is there no end to this?
1871.
Okay, 1871. Jack, what do you say?
1868.
Jack sounds like he knows that.
He does, doesn't he, though?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you he doesn't. Yeah. No, I don't know. Nobody's too terribly close.
Oh, great.
The safety pin, the patent was 1849.
Oh.
Yeah, let me see. Who came the closest? Now, none of you were really that far off, actually.
Within the 100 years?
Yeah.
You know. 49. Let me see. Jack said 68, so that's within 19 years. 49, 59, yeah, 19 years. Let's see if anybody's closer than that.
He did know. See, I told you.
Yeah, wait a minute. We have... I think Jack may be the closest. We had Linda said 25, and that's 25 years difference. Or something like that. 24 years difference.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it's 25 and 25.
24 years difference.
Yeah.
1888 said Steve. So there he's off.
I tell you what makes this game.
I would say Jack is the closest.
Ooh.
Jack now surges into the lead with 3 correct answers.
Ah.
It's just, I can't tell you how exciting it is to hear you try to figure these things out sometimes.
You know, the worst thing is, you know, I'm town moderator in my town, and that means I conduct town meetings and I have to judge the votes and stuff. Now, simple majority votes is easy, you know, 26 to, the vote is 84 and 68 against, I know the, you know, they win it. But then
what does it take?
Oh, shut up and let me finish
the
damn sentence.
What does it take?
Anyway, let me finish this while I shut his. I just turned his phone off. But it comes to a 2/3 vote, and then I sweat a little bit. Let me see, 80, yes, and 63, no. Is that a 2/3 vote that did it carry or not? Okay. Anyway, what am I talking about? Who knows?
It's also very exciting when you share that stuff with us.
Yeah.
Anything you and math, I tell you, you go together.
No, it's kind of fun to be in the middle of a really even a boring story and then have Wolfie interrupt at that moment saying something that no connection at all with what you're talking about.
Tommy, there isn't that many people in the whole of Middleton.
Is that what you interrupted me for? You ain't never even been there. How do you know?
I go by there almost every day.
And he's counting them.
Almost every day. Sure. Sure you do.
And then you happen to open the windows, Norm, and you get that smell, and you always wondered why.
Hey, Norm.
Yes, ma'am.
You weren't aware that there is a very kind of famous recording studio in Middleton.
Yes, I do know that.
Metropolis.
No, you're talking about Kenny Lewis's place?
I'm not sure who owns it, but it's called Metropolis, and it's a very well-respected place.
No, there's two famous places.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, no.
See?
Yeah.
You don't know everything.
Oh, yeah?
He doesn't know much.
Close.
Yeah. He doesn't know much. Okay. Here's another year for you to guess. This is the final one. And then
not a moment
what I'd like
soon.
To do is we're going to turn the entire transmitter off and go out of business totally. Westinghouse, I got a note from George Westinghouse. He's totally ashamed of this and says if this is what his invention has come to, the hell with it.
You were talking about Jack and Wolfie having no shame.
I have none either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no,
hey,
I know that.
Hey, listen, Normie goes out in the back there and eats in Big Daddy's.
Is that right?
Does that mean something that I'm missing?
There's a restaurant around here called Big Daddy's,
oh,
but it has
Boston.
Actually nothing to do with
anything.
No.
Now, why did you say that? Well, could you analyze the reason for you saying that, Wolfie?
I just felt like it.
I see.
Give a plug to Big Daddy.
I see. Did they give you, what, free sandwiches and stuff?
Might get a few of those hot peppers put in.
Oh, would you? Are they throwing a few more peppers, so you're willing to sell this entire station for a few peppers? That's why you're too fat for me. Because you eat too many peppers and you're too fat for us. Okay. Rick Nelson made his first singing. Rick Nelson.
Okay.
He used to be called Ricky Nelson at one time. Made his first singing TV appearance on the family show Ozzy and Harriet. The episode was called Ricky the Drummer, and he sang I'm Walking.
I'm confused by that whole thing.
Wow. Okay.
It was called Ricky the Drummer, yet.
Oh, wait a minute. Ricky's not even alive. Oh, well, that's different. We're guessing a date. Okay. At the time...
yeah.
Dead people are okay if there's a date.
Yeah. Yes. You know, he made his first singing appearance on television on Ozzy and Harriet.
As the singing drum.
As the singing... No, it was called Ricky the Drummer. And he sang I'm Walking. He was 16 years old at the time. That's a clue for you.
Okay.
Although I don't know what kind of a clue. And a year later, he had his first number one record called Poor Little Fool.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Little Fool, I love you. Poor... No, I think it was a different Poor Little Fool, as I recall. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Ricky Nelson, let's see. We haven't started with you ever, have we, Mike?
I don't think so.
Okay, let's start with you then. How old was Rick Nelson when he made his first singing TV appearance?
Well, as I recall, probably around 1956.
1956, says Mike. And what do you say, Steve?
I think it was a little bit before that. We're going back to 1947.
1947.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny, interesting, because this was TV... And I know TV didn't even come to Boston
until about 48.
Till 48, that's right. BZ was the first BZ TV channel 4. I think we have to say the whole thing. He came in 48. But if you want to stick with 47 in view of that?
Well, I like 1947. 47 was a good year
It was an excellent year. Excellent year.
He was predicting the future at the time. So
In fact, I don't think he sang, in 47 he sang, I'm crawling.
I'm drooling.
I'm teething.
And Linda, what do you say?
1960.
Okay, Jack?
1957.
57, says Jack. And Tony?
57 sounds good to me.
57 sounds good to Tony. What sounds good to you, Wolfie?
1952.
Okay, I know it sounds good to me, and that's...
Goodbye.
Somebody sealing up Wolfie's lips. It sounds... Okay. Actually, the year that Rick Nelson made his first singing appearance on television on the Ozzy and Harriet show was 1957, the same as Tony
great.
And Jack said.
Never got it.
Yeah, so actually, Jack wins, which means I don't have to send out any prizes. Because one of our own people won that one. So Jack had 4 correct answers. And a lot of you did very well anyway. Let me see. Wolfie got 2. Mike got a couple of correct answers. Steve got 1. Linda got 1. And Tony got 2.
Yeah.
So you all did okay.
Huh.
Hello?
Hello?
Right.
Okay. That was a demonstration of what it's going to sound like when the transmitter is off.
Okay. Wolfie, thank you very much.
Mommy.
Yes.
I've got a report here for Jack.
Yes.
Yes, I just looked out the window, and there's a tremendous accident there at the intersection. A Thunderbird and a Mustang.
I can't bear to hear any more of that. Oh, one little flick of the switch. It's amazing what pleasure it can bring.
Oh.
Mike and Steve, thank you very much up there in Ontario. I'm glad.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, Norm.
Thanks a lot, Norm. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, take care, both you guys.
And speaking of flicking switches.
Oh, Linda.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing on this program means anything. So
if
don't
I had a lesser mind. Never mind.
You had a what?
Jack.
Yes.
The 25th.
Uh-huh.
You went nostalgia.
Absolutely.
Be there or be square.
Okay, take care.
All right, I'll rock it in my book.
And bye-bye, Jack, and nice to talk with you. We'll talk with you in a few minutes when we get your latest traffic report.
Absolutely.
Okay. And thank you, Tony. You're going to hang up on me again. Very, very good.
Ruth Frost of Fruitport, Michigan, is telling us about her skin problems.
It was just a heat rash,
But I had had it for years. It was that bad. Very red, very irritated, and extremely painful at times, and especially in the summertime, you know, when the weather was warm.
But Ruth Frost got relief using Triple Action Gold Bond Medicated Powder.
I'll tell you, that's the best I ever had, Gold Bond. It's cooling, soothing, and it smells nice. It answers the problem, boy. And now that skin is just as smooth as can be.
Gold Bond's triple action is like three great powders in one. It has the absorbing action of powder, the medicating action of a proven itch fighter, and the drying action of zinc oxide. That's Triple Action Gold Bond.
It's cooling, very soothing. That's Gold Bond. I'll tell you, I am very happy with it, and I use it every day. It's good stuff, boy. Don't change the formula.
Try Triple Action Gold Bond Medicated Powder. Use only as directed. Available at CVS stores.
We won't change the formula, you know, sir. We know we got a good thing here, and we're going to keep that formula. Thank you. Anyway, coming up to news time, we'll take some more calls after that. I'd love to hear from you at 254-1030. We'll be around only about another half hour after that. 254-1030. Remember, Steve Allen, we'll be talking with him at 11 o'clock this very night, Saturday night, on the program. And a lot of interesting guests right throughout this coming week. So I hope you'll have a chance to stay tuned with us. Tony Nesbitt is the producer. My name is Norm Nathan. And in about 20 seconds, the way I look at it, it'll be 4 o'clock hit.
Follow the news as it changes over the course of the day. Check in often for news all day, starting at 5 a.m. Only on News Radio 1030 WBZ Boston.
That was one of those games that just makes you question your existence. Or our existence. As in, how did this show exist week after week? It did. We're thankful. And man, oh man, did we have fun. Don't forget to be here next week for episode 33, where Steve Allen is our guest. Closing the vault and riding the radio waves home. For Wolfie, Norm's future accountants, Mike and Steve, Linda Chase, Jack Hart, Big Daddy's Restaurant, Norm's grandfather, Isaac Nathan Podklubnik, and the reluctant Adonis, Norm Nathan. You know, I believe that was one of the working titles to his autobiography. I'm Tony Nesbitt.